3 months or 3 months, 3 months or $3,000 or something like
whatever,
that.
Whatever, 3,500. I'm good with 3,500.
3,500, 3,500. Do I hear 3,500? 3,000, 2,000, 2,500, 4,000. Sold. Last week at the county commission meeting, it really was. It was so interesting to watch the debate between Stephen Berry and Lumen May and Jeff Bergosh and Doug Underhill and Robert Bender about what number to land on for the housing and rent and utility assistance. And they did finally land on 3,000. That was the cap because they wanted to, you know, balance off the concern of helping more people versus helping given people more. So that is coming. Let's talk about that a little bit. Janice Gilley, she is the county administrator for Escambia County. Janice, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for having me. I always look forward to this.
Oh, it's so much fun to have you on. And I, you know, I'll tell you in person, I'll tell you on the radio too, I just think you do such a really good job at this, and your background certainly helps. I think it's a hard job, by the way, and I respect that. So they landed on $3,000 for rent and utility assistance or mortgage assistance. When are we going to see the web page that's going to have that available? Because I'm sure people heard the news and they're like, where do I apply?
Yeah, yes. So we do have a meeting, another planning meeting this morning to talk through the implementation of that. So we have a couple of different issues. We have the CARES CRF, then that's the Florida Housing Finance, you know, funding that was mentioned the other day. We also have some CDBG funds for housing. So there
Community
are
Development
different
Block Grant for people who don't know the acronyms. Go ahead.
Yes. Sorry about that. So we do have different pots of money, and then we also have the big CARES Act pot, which could be up to $56 million. And so what we're doing is we're working on a portal page where our citizens will be able to go, and they will be able to choose which grant they are applying for, whether it be the housing grant that you just mentioned. And that grant, you know, each of these grants that we will have, which will be either a family or individual grant, a business grant, or the rent and housing income, the rent or housing grant, each of those, you will be required to prove that you have had an impact related to COVID. And we are trying our best to make sure that it is as minimal as possible in terms of the amount of paperwork that you have to do. However, we do have a responsibility to the federal government in terms of our reporting. So, you know, we will try and balance our responsibilities to the federal government, but also our responsibility to the citizens in trying to make it as, you know, as less painful as possible.
Sure.
So, you know, it's probably going to be at least another week or two before we have all those up and going, not because we want it to take that long, but because there are some requirements in terms of notifications and things like that. I will share with you that in talking with our other counties in the region, you know, we're all about in the same place in terms of the timing in which it's taking to implement this. And then in talking with some of our peers down in the southern part of the state that have had this money since May, they're still kind of arguing over the money.
Really?
So I just want to be clear. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I do think the timing, you know how everything has, you know, you don't want to do things too prematurely or you don't want them to be too late. I do think the timing is actually going to work out for this better than if it had been sooner because, you know, we are looking at the situation where people are going to be losing certain benefits from the federal government, and then we are also going to have the situation where I believe that the stay, the tolling, for lack of a better term, on evictions and foreclosures is going to expire soon.
Yeah, they keep pushing that back, but at some point they're going to stop pushing that back, and so the bite is going to come on people who have not been able to keep up, which is why being able to, you know, give them some of this money, maybe as much as $3,000 to help, will be, I mean, vital for a lot of those people. Okay, well, yeah, I know that stuff takes time, and I know there's all kinds of wrinkles, like, you know, you want to also make sure that you're not overlapping where a person who lives in the city would apply for something that the city might do, and also that the county might do, which I think is part of the reason why it's good to not have those separated out grants like the mayor had kind of asked for. But, you know, you want to help everybody equally. You don't want to wind up, you know, inadvertently, you know, letting people, you know, sort of double dip, as you will. And by the way, also credit to Meredith and the other folks there when Commissioner Barry had asked whether you would work with people to make sure if they applied for A but they're really qualified for C that you'd get them into C, and you're already doing that. So that's actually, I thought that was really cool. One of the other news items that just came out overnight is Paolo Paolo Gio, the executive director for the Santa Rosa Island Authority, announced at the board meeting rather suddenly. I mean, I don't think anybody expected this, but he announced that he is going to retire. What is that going to mean for SRIA? And who even hires him? Does he get hired by their board, by your board, by you?
Yes.
I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, so I had the pleasure of serving on the Island Authority for 7 years, and one of the things that's going to be key is making sure that the next person that takes that position is environmentally sound, because the ecology at the island is extremely important. And what I mean by that is, there's a lot of building, there's a lot of construction, there's a lot of business. You know, there are a lot of things that go on that island that, you know, you just need to make sure that you manage the ecology, because, you know, beach re-nourishment is one of those big issues that comes up every, you know, six years or so, mm-hmm. between 6 and 10 years, depending on how many hurricanes. So the Island Authority does hire Paolo or his replacement. And, there are just so many things that are done out there that are behind the scenes in terms of approvals, the aesthetics of the island, you know, things like that. So you're going to have a very conscientious person. Paolo has done a wonderful job. I mean, he has absolutely lived and breathed the preservation of that island ever since the day I met him and he took on that position. So, you know, and he is, you know, a bit of a warrior, you know,
yeah.
Like he really took his position really seriously. And I just appreciate the job that he's done. Sometimes he has to be the bad guy, but sometimes you got to be the bad guy to make sure the right thing happens.
Yeah, I adore Paolo. He has been very effective in the job and a good person, you know, which, as you say, it's,
yep.
You know, that's always hard to maintain that, you know, being a sweetheart and still being effective and disciplined, which, you know, he does both of those extremely well. And so we wish him the best of luck. I'm sure I will have him on the show soon to just kind of talk about everything. One of the conversation points we're always having about the jail and corrections is the prospect of moving it back over to the sheriff. Not that you necessarily have the sheriff willing to take it at this moment, and this would be a long process, obviously, after the jail is built. But what would actually be involved in making that happen as a practical matter? I mean, do you have to ask the sheriff's permission? There was a legal ruling that's involved here. What actually would take place here?
Well, if I understand from the previous transfer, there were issues related to, just the Department of Justice and others came in and said, look, you're not spending enough. You don't have enough manpower to manage the jail and things like that. And so when the sheriff asked for, you know, what he thought was the amount to get the jail up to meet the specifications in the DOJ report, I think that there was some, you know, angst on behalf of the commission, and this has been years ago, to make that happen. And so what I would say is that it's not an easy process whenever you go to transfer anything as monolithic, right, as a jail.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot of there are a lot of employees. There are, you know, about if the budget that we've presented gets passed this year for the new jail, there'll be approximately 643 employees in that unit, and that includes the work annex, formerly known as the road camp. And so, you know, we have done a lot of, I don't want to use the word commingling because I don't want that to sound inappropriate. However, you know, our road camp and our jail have now been merged pretty much. Our commissaries are merged, the employees are merged. And so teasing that apart and getting that, given back to somebody else would take a little bit longer than I think than just a vote of the board and then handing it back over. So it would be a fairly long process, and it would have to be negotiated and things like that.
All right, so you're telling me that the annexit, sorry, it's the best I could do on short notice, the Brexit for the annex of the jail would be a little bit challenging to do from a logistical, which that makes sense. And that's kind of what I was curious about, is just how easy or how difficult as a practical matter that would be. Now, Janice, I know sometimes you like to ask me a question. You said this is your favorite thing to do. That's actually one of my favorite things about talking to you, is you always like to ask me a question. I have no idea what it's going to be, so I get to be the interviewee
okay.
for a second. What's your question? He asked with great anticipation.
Okay, so are you left-handed?
Oh no, I'm right-handed. God loves me.
You struck me as a left-handed guy. Today's Left-Handers Day.
I know.
And I thought we could celebrate you.
Are you left-handed?
No, but I always wanted to be left-handed.
Why?
I think it's so cool to be left-handed.
You can't find golf clubs.
Oh.
And baseball mitts.
Well, my husband's ambidextrous, which makes me jealous. You know, he shoots left-handed. He shoots a bow left-handed. Ah, so jealous. Anyway,
now it's funny you bring that up because we were just talking about that earlier because Davis is left-handed. My mother-in-law is left-handed.
Ah.
Of course, you know, President Obama was left-handed rather famously. My kids, interestingly, are I got a righty. I got a definite lefty, and I got a kind of a mix. It's not quite clear what he is exactly. He'll do, you know, one
I
or
love
both.
It.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So interesting that you would think I was left-handed. That's fascinating.
Well, I like the way you process things. I think your intellect comes through, and I just for some reason think of left-handed people as having this. An analytical brain.
You know, I love the. There's an old story about Ronald Reagan that he was, he was in a meeting one time and he was doodling. And he was doodling characters, and basically the upshot of all of this was that, he loved to doodle, but he understood the sort of the logical arguments on the one side of the brain, and then he also was a doodler, which is what people thought connected him well with people as the left brain kind of thing. So that's what made him. It has nothing to do with handedness, but you made me think of it. So Janice Gilley, she is the Escambia County Administrator. Always a pleasure to have you on, Janice. Thanks for what you do for our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.